Mate, is that Tom Seagate from the Footy Show?
Yeah, from the Footy Show.
Well, I'm on the West Gate, so
I just got here.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll be there in, according to my thing, 12 minutes. So
that's not too bad. I'll do a wee.
You going?
Anything from the 7-Eleven?
No, I'll be right.
All right.
I'll just get some.
We'll grab dinner when we get there, man.
I've had dinner, but I'll grab some petrol. Can you grab petrol for me?
Yeah,
in your hands.
I'll get a large slurpee thing.
Yeah, great. All right. I'll see you in a minute. Bye.
Hello, Dave. How are you going? Two for 222.
Yep. Oh, there we go. I can hear you.
Sound good?
Sounding good.
I'll turn my phone off.
No, you don't worry about your phone, mate. It rings, doesn't matter.
Cash.
Welcome to the debrief. It's Dave O'Neill here, and I'm in a service station on the edge of Melbourne, on the Western Ring Road, in a McDonald's / 7-Eleven, picking up Tom Seagate, who's living here at the moment. It's a bit sad, but...
it's been a tough couple of months.
No, we met here because we live in different parts of the city, and we've got to go to Ballarat, don't we, Tom?
A midweeker in Ballarat. Doesn't get any better.
Doesn't get any better. And, of course, Tom Seagate... You may have seen him on the Footy Show. He does this great character called the Suburban Footballer. It's going off on the Footy Show, is it not?
Oh, it certainly is. Yeah, I'm not on... I've only been on the Footy Show four or so times, but still, it's been good. It's been good, yeah.
Yeah, name out there. It's exposure, mate.
It's exposure. You can't put a price on that.
It's good stuff. So why are we going to Ballarat, Tom?
We have a gig. It's a charity gig for...
It's Cackles for Cancer, isn't it?
Cackles for Cancer, yeah. So,
I know, yeah.
And they've got a hell of a lineup.
They've got a big lineup.
Yeah, I think there's about...
Six of us, at least.
Six of us, and we're all doing... Well, on paper, we're all doing quite a long time. So if you add it all up, we should be home probably by the weekend.
Yeah. this has happened to me before where a guy emails me or whatever, gets in contact and goes, why can't people in Ballarat see a good comedy show on a Wednesday night? Well, they can if they can drive to Melbourne, but also there's a lot of comedy in Ballarat. There's actually a lot, like everyone tours through Ballarat.
Yep.
And how many shows have we done there for footy clubs or schools?
And schools in particular. There are a lot of gigs in Ballarat.
You can see a lot of comedy in Ballarat.
You can, and you can see some tonight. Yeah. See plenty of it tonight.
Yeah, but. It was originally at the Regent Theatre, now it's been scaled down to the pub.
Which is always a good sign.
Always a good sign.
Ticket sales are a bit slow.
A bit slow on a Wednesday night in Ballarat.
Who would have thought, middle of winter?
Oh, anyway, it's this guy's dream, and we're going to help him make
some money for a great cause. Yeah. But I heard they had... have sold 200 tickets, so that's not bad.
It's not bad for a Wednesday night in Ballarat.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
But Ballarat's colder than most places.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be tough, but it's indoors. So
yeah, that's good.
It's in the pub.
That's not in the Eureka Stockade.
No.
Go Ballarat. Well, tune in, because we're driving there now, so keep listening, because we'll get back in the car after the gig. It'll be like a time swipe.
We're reasonably upbeat at the moment, but it may change.
And also, you guys don't have to go for the... We'll be back in this car in about 3 or 4 hours. Whereas you guys, it'll be 10 seconds. Lucky you. Anyway, here we go to Ballarat. In what best be described as peak hour traffic.
And a lot of fog.
And fog. It's living the dream with Tom Seagate. All right, yeah. We'll be in touch.
Testing 1, 2?
Yeah, fine. You're back on the debrief with Dave O'Neill and Tom Seagate. We've just exited the George Hotel in Ballarat. Tom, how would you describe the gig?
It was good. It was actually good.
It's a triumph.
It was a triumph.
Well, there were a lot of people on, but some people cut down their time. Other people just, you know, went, did whatever.
Without telling the organisers, we sort of all agreed to do a little bit less. And,
yes.
And I think the night benefited from it.
Well, we're leaving at 10:20, so...
Could could have easily been well after 11.
Yeah, easily. But they stayed on time at 7:30 to give them credit. But you know what? They were all probably just sitting in there waiting.
Yeah.
So it was great. It was good. And there was a local guy emceeing who was a fireman.
What was he?
Yeah, he said he was a fireman. You missed his opening bit. He was a fireman. He used to be a teacher, now he's a fireman.
Mm, and his son was in the
Yeah, his son, front row. River, was in the
young.
Front row.
Yeah.
Who looked 10 or 12.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, he was young.
And, I mean, in the end, everyone included him in these acts. I mean, there were people talking. I mean, when the Nelson twins were on, and there were people talking about all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, it was pretty. Some pretty dark topics.
And then David Schmeek went on, who's a Sydney comic, it was very funny, and he started talking about Ivan Milat, and then the mum was sort of saying, no, and he's like, oh, so it's cool to talk about sexual diseases and stuff, but you don't know when you read Ivan Milat. Oh, boy. And special mention of Katie Birch.
Yeah, yes.
Who was on, it was very funny. She just opened the door and scared the shit out of us. So
absolute shit out of us. She was up and about. I think she'd probably had nearly a bottle of red. And
she was very funny.
Yeah, she was good to go.
Because it was a room, well, mainly middle-aged people, do you reckon?
Yeah, and yeah, a high 70% women.
Yeah, a lot of women. Yeah. They were great. They were great audience.
Yeah, they were really good.
They were good. We got out alive, Tom. That's the main thing.
And raised some money for a good cause.
Yeah, it's for a wellness centre here in Ballarat. Now, do you know where we are here? This is Bakery Hill. Now, this is... I'll give you a history lesson, Tom.
Oh, please do.
This is where they gathered to before the Eureka Stockade, Bakery Hill. Now there's a McDonald's in the spot. Historic, mate. Historic. Love the history.
So,
here we are. Now, you're a listener to this podcast.
Yeah, long time listener. First time interviewee.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you can speak of anything, Tom.
Absolutely anything.
A lot of people are libelous on this podcast. You know, it doesn't matter.
Who are your main listeners, reckon?
I don't know who they are. You know, every gig I do, at least one person comes up and says, I listen to your podcast. Except for that gig tonight. No one came up and said that. But, like, old BL's at a footy club in Croydon the other day. And this guy came, just a guy our age, my age, so you're younger than me. I put you in my age group. Said, yeah, I love your podcast. So,
yeah.
I don't know. The view, you know what changed podcast listening? And this is the same for me. Can you guess what changed it? Made it more accessible? Get on your phone.
Get on your phone.
Get on your phone, mate. Get That's on your the phone. Answer. Because before then, I think it was quite niche.
Yeah, yeah. Because I do a lot of gigs by myself, and I actually now miss the driving home banter. So I always pop on your podcast on the way home.
And,
so
and do
sort
you
of feel like I'm in the?
Yeah, do you sometimes join the conversation? Well,
yeah,
I've had
yeah.
bad gigs too.
They're all very good, and that's what I often wonder about that, because everyone's always like, "Oh, it was a great gig. It was a great gig." Is it ever a bad gig, or you just make sure you sort of line it up? That you only do it.
No, I do it after bad gigs for sure. If we ever had, but if we ever had, I have bad gigs occasionally. Oh man, I do. But see, often like you, I'm by myself.
Yeah.
So tonight we basically engineered this so you could be here. Normally we probably would have driven individually.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
But because I just thought, I haven't had you on the podcast, and seeing as you're such a fan,
cute, massive fan.
Get Seagate on, because also you've got a very interesting story, so which we will get to, people. And but like the other night, I got rung up by someone to do a private party. Now, I've done private parties before and they're fine, and it was a 50th of a guy who grew up in my area.
Oh, so
this
perfect.
Is perfect. I can just mention old nightclubs for half an hour.
Yeah.
And so the wife rang me up and said, you know, we don't have a lot of money, but whatever. And I said, oh, that's okay. I'll come along. And, you know, he's your age, blah, blah. Oh, great. This would be so easy. And it's in this hotel. And I'm like, oh, that hotel? And she's like, well, have you been there since it's been renovated? And I'm like, all right, steady on defending the shit hotel that you're sending me to. Of course, they owned the hotel.
Oh, okay.
And so it was this massive hotel.
They got off on the wrong foot.
Well, got off on the wrong foot, but also should have asked for more money, Tom.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Yeah, they own this huge hotel. I get there, and I haven't been to this hotel for years. And I meet her, and she's lovely. And she goes, all right, so he's upstairs. He's got his friends up there. And so I just want you to go on, roast him, right, you know, get stuck into him.
Have you got a microphone?
Yeah, well, this is it. Yeah, okay, is there a microphone? Yeah. And so, but also my daughter wants to read a poem out about him. She's 10 maybe. And okay. then can you interview my son who's 5 about him?
Pretty standard gig.
I'm like, yeah, okay. That's what I'm thinking. Well, the more other stuff to do is good. You know what I mean? And I'm also thinking happy birthday for him. And so I get up there and it's not what I... It's a room in a hotel, but it's like a nightclub. So the hotel, which used to be a dodgy hotel, has been done up to be basically a nightclub. So I walk through a nightclub with young people dancing and stuff, and the lights really dim, to get to this room, which is again like a nightclub. It's really dark. Like you barely can't see anything, and the music's pumping. There's a DJ.
Yeah.
And so he hands me a mic, and it's a cord that you can't go very far.
Okay.
And so then she goes, all right, I'm going to introduce you. So she introduces me, but people are still talking because it's like, and I go, oh, guys, all right. And so then I start, and I get the guy to come up and stand next to me, but then his two kids start hugging him. And so I'm thinking, how can I roast this guy when his kids are hugging him? And so I'm doing a bit of stand-up, but it's not going that great. Mm. And then, because there's still sort of people talking, and behind me, the two bouncers, who's one's doing the DJ, are talking really loudly,
yeah,
like really loudly. I could hear the conversation. I'm doing stand-up, and I could hear the guy going, well, I said to him, I'm not fucking going to LA again. I want to go to Vegas this time. I'm going to fucking Vegas. And I turned around and I said, guys, we're just having the speeches. And the big, really big guy goes, I'm only here for Dave, which was the birthday guy. And I said, well, it's his speeches. And then you know, the two bouncers give me that look, you know, that bouncers give you before they throw you down the stairs. And I just went, oh, my God, I'm scared. And so I hung onto this Dave guy who's now got me hugging him as well as his kids. And anyway, I go, all right. I just abandon ship and go, Dave, do you want to say a few words? And he starts talking, and these guys are still talking. And I say, guys, shh. And the guy says again, I'm just here for Dave. I mean, well, he's giving his fucking speech. Do you want to shut up? So anyway, that's an example of a bad gig.
Yeah,
that's tough.
Yeah, that's not great. How long ago was that?
Oh, about 2 weeks ago.
do you stress about him now, or do you
want to make that? Honestly, quick? I get in the car and just go, because they're really lovely people.
Yeah, yeah.
They're really nice people, but it's just the environment is too hard to overcome.
Yeah, it's unworkable.
I mean, you must have done things like that.
Oh yeah, I do a lot of footy clubs. So and then footy clubs are
generally they're pretty good.
The footy club rooms are normally pretty good.
And there's often a coach or a cat will go, guys, shut up.
Yeah, they're good. And they do. The only issue is pissed. Alcohol can be a factor.
If
I do a lot of like Sundays, like I guess like
reverse draws.
And comedy's not number one on their priority. Listening's not because quite often on a Sunday guys have gone all the way through, gone straight through, and they're a bit of a mess. And guys are pretty drunk. It's normally free alcohol, and but they're normally okay.
Yeah, right. And so, when you do those gigs, the people don't know you do a character called the Suburban Footballer.
I do. Yeah, I've done stand up for 13 years, and I've done the character for probably 2.5.
And it's taken off.
Yeah, it's going
it's huge
really
on
great.
Facebook, isn't it?
Yeah, so probably 70% of my gigs now are as the Suburban Footballer.
Which is a character.
He's a character, yeah. So he's basically he's just a football playing coach. I come out in a helmet and a mouth guard, all my footy gear and my socks up.
And the little whiteboard.
Yeah,
which I've seen at my daughter's playing AFL now.
And I read the team out.
Yeah.
And it's good. It sort of captures.
So you read the, you get the names of the pet players, yeah?
Oh, I can. Yeah, if they want to. I don't push it, but if they say, sometimes the week before they'll say, oh, can we give you a list of players? And it's very easy to work in. They think you're being real clever, and it's not. And I come out and I've got a little boom box, and I play Eye of the Tiger and I do my warm-up. And it goes really well because every footy club has the same warm-up and they all think they're original. Raise the knees and flick the heels and marking a footy that's not there. And it sort of gets everyone's attention. So it's good. It normally gets them on side early.
Because you basically mind a niche, but it's in Australia, it's such a massive niche.
Yeah.
It's huge football.
Oh, I mean, so, yeah, so there must be hundreds and hundreds of football clubs.
Oh, thousands.
Thousands of football clubs in Australia.
Well, you've just done, I mean, have you ever done Perth or South Australia?
Yeah. So I went over to South Australia recently, and I actually did my first lot of shows in Perth. So I did...
Oh, that's where you trialled it?
Mm. So that's where I sort of... It sort of took off first, because a guy that plays for the West Coast Eagles got onto it in the real early days.
And of Facebook?
And put it on his Facebook page, or shared it, or something.
And was he a player? Or?
A player for the West Coast Eagles.
Who's that?
Shuey.
Shuey?
Yeah, who's got a pretty good following. So, my show's over there. Sold out really quickly. So
did you throw Shuey a free ticket?
Yeah, no, I didn't know they were all coming. But my second night,
So Nakanui was there?
Yeah, big Nick Nat, he was there.
Oh, great.
Prittis and all.
See, I mentioned the one player I know.
So, it was good. No, I love it. Like, they're my...
You're a footy head. You love footy anyway.
I love footy. I love local footy, so I sort of rock it up to...
You are amazing, because I've done footy clubs with you, and all the other comics will go, oh, is there somewhere we can go to be by ourselves? You're in there amongst them. Who'd you play today? What happened?
Oh, I love it. Like, I love it. Like,
but also, it's good material. I always say, what team do you hate?
Yeah.
So if there's ever a lull in the act, I go, oh, fuck Ferntree Gully, or whoever, and they all cheer. Yeah, fuck them.
There's always someone that, you know, stuffed up that day or did something, or, yeah, so it's...
Man.
And again, it's not hard to look like you've done it and put a lot of work into it. All you got to do is mention a couple of things, and it looks like you've tailored the show.
Which is
something I try to do.
Yeah, and then, of course, it's been picked up by the footy show.
Yeah, so the footy show contacted us early this year, and I've been on there maybe four or five times, and it's been really good. Yeah, it's been really good.
Well, that's just another profile. Whenever I ring you up, what do you say? You go, is that Dave O'Neill from the Nugget?
Is that Dave O'Neill from the Nugget? Yeah.
Which is a story I told you, which is, you remember, I had a builder for a while, and when I was getting a renovation done, he always do this when I'd ring him up. G'day, is that Dave O'Neill from the Nugget and Nova FM? Because it was years ago. It would have been 15 years ago. And he used to quote my... Because I knew... I go, are you standing with people, Danny? Are you with... I might be. But he's done it with me. I've been with him. And who rang up? Daryl Jackson, who's a famous architect. Is that Daryl Jackson, the famous architect, on the line? Mate. But now when you ring me, I say, Tom Seger from the Footy Show.
Which is fair enough.
Hey. It's good, but it helps you with a comedy career if you can get a credit.
So it's and I was careful not to sort of do it to death. Like, I think if I had been on there every week, I think it would have got a bit much. But I've sort of
Mate, is Street Talk still on every week?
I don't think so.
Does he still do it, Sam Newman?
I think they do it every now and again.
Oh, man.
It was on tonight.
Oh, I watched the best of Street Talk one year. Oh, I swear, I was crying. I was laughing so much. So I know it's not completely correct to say I find him very funny.
Yeah.
And you know what? He's a friendly guy.
He
always remembers your name.
No, he's a good guy.
Because some of these other guys give you nothing. James Brayshaw, met him at least four times, pretends, oh, I don't know who you are. No idea. I reckon I've met Sam less, and he's friendly.
Yeah, most of them are good guys.
Yeah. Do you get excited when you meet football players? You're a Collingwood man. When you first met Dakes?
Yeah, well, I only just met Dakes for the first time last 2 weekends ago.
Oh, wow.
Sat on a table with him at a sportsman's luncheon. I do a fair bit with Dane Swan, who's...
Swanee.
One of my heroes.
Yeah, he's funny, though.
He's good. Dry as a chip. But, he's great.
We did the Albion Football Club the other... It's on a Sunday. It's a reverse draw.
We were
talking about. And so the guy rings me up and he goes, look, last year the president tried to fight one of the Nelson twins.
Oh, okay.
Jumped up on stage. Now, I met the president. He maintains he was mucking around. And the Nelson twins, who were on tonight, are very funny guys, but they're football players. They punch on occasionally with each other.
They know
when someone's mucking around and not mucking around.
Yeah, they've got a pretty good radar for that.
Yeah,
that
the guy stuff. Wasn't mucking around. And so the guy goes, okay, well, I'll get you there at midday, because they're pretty big drinkers. He rings me at 11 and goes, mate, there's 100 people here drinking already. You've got to come now. So I turn up, and it was one of those gigs where all the blokes were standing up, and they had their girlfriends and some of their mums sitting to the left of the stage.
Yeah.
And there was a, as you know, when you pick someone out in the crowd, the captain, who was a little bloke, had a neck brace on, which I did about just 10 minutes on his neck brace. Just, hey, what are you doing in the car park to get your neck brace? What are you? And then some, and I said, any more information about this guy? And this guy yelled out, his mum makes his lunches. And I said, really? And then his mum stood up and go, yes, I do. And I'm happy to do it. I was like, oh. But anyway, Dane got there and they were just,
oh, they love him.
Oh, they love him. He's a hero.
Yeah.
He's an absolute hero. Yeah, exciting. So was it exciting to meet Dacos? Did you get in the fan boy?
I got to interview him, which was I do a lot of interviewing guys at sportsmen's.
Yeah, I've done that, but I don't know football that well, so I've gotten a bit of trouble.
But most of them you can just, like Dermot, you would say, what give us a story behind the 1989 grand final, your incident with Yates, and he will talk for 45 minutes. Some of them you've got to, you know, ask quite a bit, but most of them you just ask one question, they're away.
I'm trying to remember when I first met you. That's what I caused you.
Yeah, I know you always ask that, and I was trying to think about. I remember when I first moved to Melbourne, listening to you guys on
Nova.
On Nova, but I don't remember.
I remember. You used to do a routine about the Grand Prix.
Remember
that routine? But what's that routine? Was it reading an article or something? You read something in the paper, or was it they changed a rule? Or
The Grand Prix was about something about Albert Park Lake.
Yes. About the ducks.
I think that was a different one about how the swans cross here.
Yeah.
And I was really worried that they were crossed, so I just mowed straight through them before they
started. That's the one I'm thinking of.
What was the Grand Prix one?
But I'm trying to remember when I first saw you, because when you started, you did a lot of sort of one-liners.
Yeah, I was
You were kind of like not a character, but you were a little. Almost monotone.
Yeah, well, I think I was a bit of a character because I used to wear that like skin tight brown ladies.
That's right.
Adidas tracksuit.
Yes.
Yeah. The pants.
So
the
you would
top.
Come on and people would just go, "Is there something wrong with him?"
It was. You're right. It was very one line. I remember Elliot Goblin.
He loved me. And then when you started doing stories, you got disappointed.
He got a bit disappointed in me. And I remember once the first time. I met him. He goes, "Oh, hi, that was, I just saw your stuff. That was fantastic. Not many people do the one-liners anymore." And I said, "Elliot," and he goes, "Oh, it's Jack." I said, "Oh, Jack, this is actually a coincidence." And I just last weekend, I was driving up from Albury Wodonga to Melbourne, and I was getting a bit tired.
And I stopped
at the service station, and I bought one of your cassettes, and I played it on the way. How long ago it was. I bought one of your cassettes, and I played it on the way back to Melbourne to keep me awake. And he goes, "Oh, which one?" And I said, and I wasn't even trying to be funny. I said, "Oh, the service station just outside of Chuka." Just outside of Euroa.
That's a great joke.
And he goes, "Oh, you are good. You are good." And
I was like, "You're at it again."
What? I was like, "What?" And I was dead serious. But he obviously meant the
stop doing material.
He meant what cassette did you buy? He must have had a few.
That's a fucking great joke. Which one? Not the service station, you idiot.
But he thought I was being brilliant.
Yeah, it's like a joke from Joey from Friends.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. I remember talking to you where your mum was at a gig in Geelong. What was it, Pulse Nightclub? Remember they used to do comedy?
Yeah,
it was downstairs.
Yeah.
And it was a great night. And I remember meeting your mum and talking to you there. But I hadn't met you somewhere else before that. And that was a long time ago.
Yeah, it's sort of a...
Yeah, anyway, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
It's been a glorious career.
Oh, my career?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's been...
Absolutely. Such a quick rise to the top.
Yeah, but it takes a long time sometimes, you know what I mean?
You've
been working.
I have been working. I haven't probably committed as much as I could. I often wonder, I was lucky to get I didn't do anything at school. Like, I did very, very poorly at school. And my options were.
But your dad was a dentist
limited.
And your mum was a teacher or something, did you?
Mum was a hairdresser.
Yeah, so
that. She did hairdressing, so a bit of real estate.
Yeah.
Yeah, and And she,
but did you go to uni or anything?
No. Well, I got 27 in my out of 100 in my year 12.
That doesn't sound great.
No, it wasn't good at all. So I was feeling.
Were you partying a lot?
Yeah. So we used to go out every Thursday, every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. All through year 12. Yeah, it got so bad. Sometimes we used to go out Thursday, which was a night over in Albury. Boogie Wonderland, and we used to go straight because it used to shut at 5, and we used to go and sleep on the oval and just go straight into
what?
School. Oh,
everyone school. Says that your stories of your drinking and youth are just unbelievable.
I was hopeless on the piss when I was younger. It wasn't great for my year 12, so I didn't get into any uni course, but then I really wanted to do business marketing, so I went over to Charles Sturt University and knocked on the door and said, "Oh, and can I meet with the boss or whoever it is?" And went in and
Perth or Adelaide or something.
Charles Sturt was in Albury.
Oh, so in Albury,
just across the border. And I pleaded my case and I said, "Look, you know, I partied a bit hard in Year 12, but I'm good to go. I'm good to go." And he said, "Okay, we'll put you in." And so they put me in, and the moment I got in, a mate was going overseas. So I thought, yeah, I'll come. Had a gap year. So when I travelled overseas and came back and then went back to uni and I'd sort of been travelling and sort of doing what I wanted, so I wasn't really ready to settle into university. And I got 2 weeks in, and I remember, and they called me into the office after 2 weeks and they said, "You can do what you want, we're not telling you what to do, but just so you know, if you quit, pull out within another week, you don't have to pay for the first
I don't pay X.
You don't have to pay, but if you drop out now, you've dropped out so early that you don't have to pay anything." And I said, "Do you think I should drop out?" And they said, "Yeah, we reckon you should drop out." So I was 2 weeks in and I hadn't done anything.
It's like a private school in year 11 when they get the dumber kids and they go, "Have you ever thought about going to TAFE?"
Happened
to my cousin. "Do you want to, you can't sit your VCE here." And so you dropped out?
Yeah, so I dropped out. So I wasn't, I just wasn't going to my, I was only 2 weeks in, I hadn't done anything. I did O week. I didn't miss a thing at O week.
It's not such an unusual story. There's a lot of comics that like Husey dropped out, you know. There's a lot of uni dropouts in comedy.
I don't feel like I dropped out though. I just feel like I didn't go to uni.
Yeah, you didn't start.
I signed up and then it's like, I went to the office and then just...
Then what did you do? Did you start working for the people you're still working for now? Or?
No. So then I got a job. I did the country thing. So when I got a job at the meatworks. Got a job at Sunnycrust Bakery, packing the bread.
Jeez, they're hard jobs.
Went fruit picking for a while.
Another hard job.
Yeah, so did a bit of that. Travelled around. Went and played football up at Griffith for a year. So they got us a job. Footy club up there got us a job just... They call me the director of traffic at this chicken.
Oh, were you at a chicken farm?
Yeah, but I just used to like get out and direct this truck back. As the trucks sit back in to the shed, I used to look at them in the rearview mirror and just move my hand to back them up. It was so boring. So I did that for about 6 months, and then moved to Melbourne, and then moved to Melbourne and. Was a dental technician for 4 years. So
My god! I went for a job interview. Was that when I was at school?
Yeah.
And you got to put bits of wire around, make plates and stuff.
Yeah. So I was always pretty good with my hands. So in the interview, you had to make this.
I remember doing the interview. You had to do like a practical thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and
I was no good at that.
And yeah. Mine was. Oh, I cut myself a little bit on the hand, and then I thought, "Oh god, I'm stuffed." And I looked over at the guy next to me. And he'd nearly cut his whole hand off. Like, he had just blood all over him. So I was like, "Well, I've beaten him."
And is that where you met Fiona Lachlan's old husband?
Yeah. So he sat next to me. Yeah, so I did 4 years of that with, like, a traineeship type thing.
Yeah, it's like being a tradie in a way, a technician kind
of. Yeah, so I did sort of orthodontics and sleep apnea, but I hated it. But that's where I saw comedy for the first time. And it was good. I was on a date back in my single days, sitting out in the front of the Espy having a few beers with this girl.
Okay, Tammy, if you're listening, turn off now, all right?
And
your wife.
And there was someone going around...
telling people to come and
have a look. Handing out little flyers saying, "Come at the back to it might have been you.
I never did that.
To the Gershwin room, which was out the back, and I went out, it was $10 or something, and so we both went out and paid our $10, and I sat down and I saw Greg Fleet.
Legend.
And I still to this day say I've never laughed that hard in my life, and I said that's what I want to do, and I probably didn't do it for 5 years, but it was good because dental technician was such a mind-numbing job.
You could think of jokes.
I would just think of stuff all day, so I'd jot stuff down, and so when I eventually did get around to starting, I had a fair backlog of.
Where was your first gig?
It was part of the, what is it? The
not Raw Comedy.
Yeah, Raw Comedy Evelyn.
Evelyn Hotel, yeah.
Yeah. But a lot of people tell all their mates that they're doing stand-up, but I was actually... I didn't tell them. I did about 20 gigs before anyone knew I did it.
Good idea.
I told my flatmates I was seeing a girl, and I wasn't seeing a girl. I was
doing gigs.
So I could, you know...
And how'd you go at Raw? Did you get through to a hero?
No, I didn't get through. But that's where I met... It's about the same time as... I met Troy Kinney and...
You'd be hanging out with him.
Yeah, and a guy called Dan Carmody and Dave Thornton.
And Monty Franklin.
Yeah, Monty Franklin. That's where we sort of made a bit of a group and started doing footy clubs and stuff, bought some sound equipment, and the rest is history.
Yes. Yeah, Dave Thornton tells that story of you doing that footy club where they didn't want you there or some story.
Oh, yeah, no, it was...
I think he's told on this podcast. Cranbourne or Berwick or something like that. They wanted a reduction in the money, didn't they?
They didn't want to pay. They were looking for a reason for us to fail. We all said, let's just do our time. So because I think they catered for about 200, and they were like, there was something else on there. About would have been under 20 people there. Just tell that they'd done their nuts.
These days I would turn up and just say to them, John, I won't go on. Don't worry. I'll just go home. Don't worry about the money.
We didn't know. We weren't smart enough to do that.
No, when you're young, I want to go on. I can win these people over.
So Troy and I did our time, and just to try on anything to sort of, you know, so we did our time, and then he pulled up stumps very early. But in his defence, he was last, and he was copping a bit of shit, and it was just a bad vibe in the room,
I think your worst gigs when you start out, because you also don't have the experience to cope with anything.
Oh yeah, you just...
You got your routine, you're like, well, don't talk to me, what's happening?
Yeah, yeah. And they just stormed backstage, they want us. And I was sort of... I'd been talking to a few of the guys.
Yeah, you were the footy club, you saved it apparently.
I was trying to reason with them. Troy was firing up and then we sort of did the walk of shame out to the guy. Oh no, but we all came... The only thing that saved us was like one of them goes, this is bullshit, we paid $3,000 for this shit, and we were like, hey, hang on, and we were like getting like $400 each, so the agency obviously took a heap, so we sort of deflected a lot of the hatred towards the agency, which got us time to get out to the car and did a big burnout in the car park and got out of there.
Yeah, don't you love it? You turn up to a gig and you paid a small amount of money, and the guy goes, yeah, it's costing a lot of money. I did this gig in with Jeff Green and Nick Cody, and look, they had about 60 people there.
Yeah.
And I said to the guy behind the bar, and it was like, so I worked it out. They had made money. You know what I mean? Because I worked out, because I knew what I was getting. I wasn't getting much. And Jeff told me how much he was getting.
Yeah, you're like me. I count the people, and
because I knew me and Jeff were getting a very small amount of money. And Cody was getting... This is when Cody, before he was a bit of a star, getting even less money. And so the talent bill was under this amount. And the guy goes, nah. So I reckon the talent bill was under like $1,000. And he goes, nah, the guy's charging me over $2,000.
Yeah, that's...
I'm like, what? And so this guy that was running the gig was getting over, like, he was getting $1,200 or something like that. I had a massive go at him.
I do most of my gigs are organised by myself.
Yeah. So you can just shaft yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, the agent said, hang on, you're the agent.
But that's why I do most of my dealing through emails and messages, because I'm so much sort of tougher.
Like, yeah, on the phone, it's terrible.
I'll be barting myself down.
Yeah.
Like, and they just won't even say anything. I'll just be going, oh, no, I'll do it for this. Oh, no, I guess it is.
I had a guy ring me up the other day about a grand final breakfast, and he's like, he goes, we want you to do this gig. We've had this person, we had Greg Champion, Peter Heller. I said, all right, well, what did Peter Heller get? Knowing that he would get more than me.
Yeah.
And he goes, he got like this amount, but you can ask for more if you like. He's like an old guy. I went, oh, no, I'll just have what he had. That's fine, mate. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Still, it was still reasonable money. Bloody hell.
It's a fine line.
You don't want the club to lose money.
Oh, no, not at all. It's just a bad vibe. And, yeah,
it's not good. I've had like an agent or someone ring up and go, look, we've had a baseball club from Doncaster ring up. Are we quoted $5,000 for you? I'm like, $5,000? Yeah. They don't even make $5,000.
Yeah.
Got to quote a lot less than that. We're stuck behind a tanker.
Mm,
what's going on here, Seagate? Anyway, you listen to the debrief. We've got the great Tom Seagate. Look him up. Look up the Suburban Footballer. If you're at least a little bit interested in football, go to his Facebook page, and it is very funny. And of course, now I'm involved in football because my 12-year-old daughter's playing AFL.
Yeah.
It's a whole other world, isn't it?
That's late.
It's late
for you to be getting into...
Yeah, because my brother played. My dad is a massive Collingwood supporter, but I reckon he didn't take us. We went once or twice with him. This was like in the 70s, and he would lose his mind and yell out and start arguments and fights. And
yeah, you don't want to see Dad doing that.
And we reckon there was a release for him. You know, yeah, it was a great, yeah. And so Mum would go, Dad, let your father go.
Yeah.
And he would go. He still goes. Well, my brother goes with him because Dad's over 80. And he still starts arguments with Hawthorn supporters. And, is that what you reckon, do you, mate? Is that what you reckon? And Mark's like, Dad, don't start a fight. If you're 80-something, starting a fight.
Yeah, that's no good. Oh, I took my kids to the... my wife and I took my kids to the footy for the first time last Sunday. And
Collingwood won.
Yeah, and I thought, love the kids, love footy. Thought combining the two would be the perfect.
Bad,
yeah,
isn't it?
It was. Not well, good. We got there 5 minutes into the final quarter. It was just,
took you that long to get there.
Yeah, someone would just be at the door and someone would bloody crap their pants and have to go in and change.
But also, do you lose your mind at the footy? Do you go crazy?
No, I'm pretty chilled out. Yeah, I don't. I've seen a couple of premierships. So I'm happy with that.
Yeah. And Collingwood are doing okay.
They're doing okay.
No, as you know, anyone listening to the podcast, I performed for the players the other night. We're good friends with them all. Still got that signed jumper. But you know what? What is it about local footy, though? And this is... My daughter's playing under 12s. It attracts some very angry fathers, doesn't it? Like, dads are just living their lives.
Oh, through their children. Without a doubt, yeah.
You know... Girls football has been very good for men who just had daughters and they love their AFL.
Yeah.
So for years they've been standing on the side of the soccer field and the netball thing going, yeah, this is all right, but and now they've started playing AFL. There's some of these dads, we played a team the other day and the mum was telling me that the week before, one of the dads took his shirt off and ran on the field in anger.
You can't do that.
Took his shirt off.
What was the age? Actually, it's not right at any age.
Oh, they're under 12s.
Oh, yeah. That's too young.
And my daughter's like, how embarrassing for the girl.
Was it like a protest or something?
Yeah, it was like a protest against the umpire. Like the Incredible Hulk. Took his shirt off.
Gee whiz.
The mum's like, he wasn't even ripped.
Footy's been cleaned up a lot. But it used to be, like 20 years ago, it was rough.
Feral, yeah.
Yeah, there was, there'd be fights on the field and off the field. But you don't see it much anymore, which is good.
Yeah. And you play for the Caulfield Bears, or you did for a long
Bears,
time?
Caulfield Bears, yeah. We've got our 25-year anniversary coming up in a few weeks.
You're a legend down there.
Exciting.
Imagine how many free gigs you'd be asked to do. I couldn't imagine.
No, I've done
a lot.
Done a lot.
My daughter had played 2 weeks. They rang me up to get you to a free gig at her club. Yeah, great.
Well, I'm doing a free gig coming up for the kids' kindergarten, so I'm just starting
yes,
to do what
that's
you've
what
done
happens.
For
I've done that.
Years. Yeah, and there's a lot of pressure on because if you have a shit gig, you've got to show your face down in the kindergarten.
It's terrible, and I don't know if your wife comes to a lot of your gigs, but my partner, when I first started, she's come to all the gigs. Now three kids, she doesn't come hardly ever.
Yeah.
And then she'll come to the school one, but one year she was texting me on stage.
Yeah, don't say that.
And I said, you're swearing too much. Yeah, good times. Yeah, you're listening to The Debrief. Now, the debrief is supported by supersimplecards.com. Get a pack of greeting cards from Super Simple Cards using the code debrief at the checkout. supersimplecards.com. Check them out. Look, they're made in Australia. They're made in Gippsland. And they're powered by solar. Yeah, there's no trees to cut down to make the cards. So the cards are compostable too. You can chuck them in the compost when you're finished with them, if you receive one. So find a link in the show notes or go to supersimplecards.com. Get 10% off your entire order when you use the code debrief at the checkout. All shipping is free. Get a great pack of environmentally friendly cards. It'll save you time and money. Yeah, it's a good idea. Go to supersimplecards.com. All right, back to the show. You're back on the debrief with Tom Seagate, aka the suburban footballer, father. You know what's interesting about you? You've got three kids and very little kids, all under six?
Yeah, yeah, all under five, which is five
a,
and under.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, that's a tough time. I remember that time.
It is hard, Jacker.
I remember that time. I chose that time to go on cruises a lot. No, I didn't. wish I could. But that is hard. It's interesting that you've decided to, and maybe it's just a matter of timing and luck, that you've amped up your career.
Yeah, I think it would be tough if it didn't have any income coming in. You know,
yes.
Like that sort of. If I was just starting out with kids and it was sort of still going, hanging out at the
open mics.
Yeah, I'd find that pretty.
Yeah, so most nights you go out, you're earning money, and
you
could say to your partner, "Oh, we're earning money for the children," and apart from the gigs you do for your kinder club and your footy club, and the kids join Scouts, or you're doing one for them and every other sporting organisation. All right, so let's do the questions.
Oh, yeah.
You're a regular listener. You know, what went well tonight and why, Tom? And you can talk about anything.
Well, I thought what went well...
Because you were second on after the local... The local guys on.
Yeah, after the local MC and the first local act was a young guy.
A young guy who talked about sexually transmitted diseases.
He looks 16.
He looked young.
How many STDs...
I don't know.
16.
But, he's a lovely young man.
Yeah, he was a nice guy. He did really well. What went well? I thought the room was very polite.
They were really polite.
No one had had more than two or three drinks. The room was set up beautifully. The light wasn't great. It was...
Did blind.
It was a little bit... Had the blinding. Phantom of the Opera. I didn't do any crowd work, I don't think, just because...
No, but it's also... Crowd work should be left to the MC and the headliner, I reckon. That's my view.
True.
You see some people, as they say, MCing from the middle. But what didn't go well then?
I think it all went pretty well. I'm glad we sort of cut it short.
We cut out a break.
So I went on. And everyone did probably 5 minutes less than they were meant to. It just would have been... too long on a Wednesday. They would have been tired.
Yeah, it's a school night.
It is, yeah.
And any organisational hazards got in our way? You know what? The bar wasn't open.
Yeah, that was weird.
The George Hotel, so it's a very big hotel in Ballarat. They've got this great room out the back, which is, they do a regular comedy night there, Ballarat Cat Comedy, and the bar's normally open, and they didn't even have a staff member behind the bar.
So everyone had to go out to that front bar. But
that's a very bad decision. Yeah. And also, were the heaters on?
It was cold.
That was an organisational hazard. We nearly got pneumonia.
Yeah, when I'm cold, I don't think it's nerves, but I really shake, and it sort of makes you not feel ready to go.
I
was freezing when I got up there.
How can we do better next time? Turn on the heater.
Yeah, just turn on the heater. Just turn. And it's not like they couldn't see the cold coming. It's
Ballarat
in the middle of winter.
It's been
that way for a while.
It's a very cold place.
So just heaters and a couple of less acts, but we got around that.
But we managed it well.
Yeah, yeah. That was good. I think everyone really enjoyed it. You had a ripper to finish off.
It was good, actually. I was worried because there were so many acts on, but I just punched through.
Yeah, you made a very good decision to get rid of that. There was going to be a break, and then you get up to close the night, but you just said, no, I'll get up. And so you...
Me and you talked it through.
Yeah, we did. We did. And it was definitely for the better.
Well, the fact that also people had to leave the room to get a drink, it would have been another 10 or 15 minute break.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is all the ins and outs of comedy. It's very important.
But I think it was a very good night.
And now we're driving back.
Now we're driving home, work tomorrow. And, yeah.
What time do you have to get up?
Oh, I normally try and get in about 8. Oh. The boys are normally up fairly early.
Your kids get up?
Yeah, normally up by 6:30 or something.
Whoa. So
the days of the sleeping are certainly on hold.
Yeah, they get. Look, I've got a teenager now. He can sleep in.
It's
like a cliche, but seriously.
And we've got the musical beds. Like Nara will come into our bed. Yeah. I'll go into Flynn's and you wake up and you're like, how the hell did I get here?
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah, how many nights have you had in a single bed just sleeping there? Oh man, our son, our youngest, used to turn up with his pillow and teddy bear at the door. Like, I'm here. Okay, getting in. But you always have a crap sleep. It's just.
Yeah.
I wake up with a foot. They sleep really well, but you wake up with a foot in your head or...
Yeah. Oh, they sleep like logs.
They love getting in bed.
And how something so small can take up so much
room.
Space. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's very... it can be very disturbing nights of sleep. But it does get better.
It does get better?
It gets better, mate. You've got in,
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, I'll take you. Yeah. No, it gets better. It's much... but, you know... You never stop being a parent, apparently.
Never stop being a parent?
Well, apparently.
That's true. Just different problems.
Even though my dad, at 80, I reckon they're finally... They don't have to do that much for us. Yeah, they don't have to do that much for us anymore. They're not lending people money or picking us up. Or...
Okay. Well, kids stay at home until, isn't it? Like 28 or something.
No, we left when we were 20. Jesus. So.
You left when you were...
Yeah, my mum was crying. Yeah.
Yeah, I left when I was about... Actually, I was an exchange student. I left when I was about 16. Went to Canada for...
Oh, you had a great time there.
12 months, yeah.
Now, my dad was an empty nester at my age. He was an empty nester when he was 50. We'd all gone by the age of 50.
Yeah, that'd be...
Well, it's hard, especially for the mums of those days. They just dedicated their life. Like, my mum just dedicated her life to us.
Yeah.
She just worked part-time, and then we all go, and she's like, oh, okay. What song should we play?
Do I get to pick?
Yeah, you can pick.
A wide variety of music that I listen to.
Yeah, you do. You've had your phone on at gigs, and you've had some pop.
And
you've
like
had a bit of country, hip-hop. Not country.
I love the Counting Crows.
Counting Crows.
I even loved... I love Jewel, the singer. I named our dog after Jewel.
Jewel.
I've seen her twice. I've met
Jewel.
Oh, seriously?
I interviewed
her. She was my first true love.
I tell this story on Josh Hill's podcast. She's lovely.
Yeah.
She was wearing a tracksuit. Her boyfriend wasn't nice. He tried to fight me, kind of.
Oh.
He came to the room and said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "I'm doing an interview."
Was he the Rodeo guy?
Yes. Yeah. He was wearing a big hat.
Oh,
what's going on here?
Yeah, I think she'd have a great sense of humour. She was my first love.
Jewel. Mm. Do you want to play some Jewel? Because it was a classic album. Remember, she was living in a car.
Yeah. What you got? Foolish Games? Hands?
Hands was the big one, wasn't it?
Hands was...
Did you buy a poetry book?
Yeah, I bought a poetry book.
Oh, my
book.
God.
It was singer, songwriter, poet, inspiration.
Jewel.
Hands became the... not as much in Australia, but Hands over in the States became the anthem for 9/11. Hands are smaller. Or sticking together through tough times and so forth. Yeah.
Right, so she could be on a wanted list from Al Qaeda now. Jewel.
Probably. But,
Jewel.
Yeah, seen Counting Crows a couple of times. But Jewel or Counting Crows.
But, well, I mean, Counting Crows, I just think of Mr. Jones, Mr. That's her song, isn't it?
Yeah, that was them. Yeah.
And they did a cover of Big Yellow Taxi.
Yeah, that was shit.
That was really
disappointing. Yeah.
What are their other hits? I just think of Mr. Jones.
Around here.
Is that better than Mr. Jones?
Yeah.
That song got played so much on Triple M.
Yeah.
It was like,
they're
the new Matchbox 20. They just fucking moved in.
Yeah.
Them and,
but then I like Hilltop Hoods and that sort of stuff.
We should play some. We've never played.
They're the best live performers I've ever seen.
Where'd you see them?
I've seen them in a couple of festivals and. I went with a fellow comedian Evan Hocking to see them at a
been on this
mate.
Podcast.
Andrew Bold went and saw him play with the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra not that long ago.
Oh, right.
Yeah, at the tennis centre.
Yeah, Hughie was walking down the street in Adelaide and goes, these three skinheads came up and started hugging me in hoodies. I'm like, what the fuck? And they're like, we're the Hilltop Hoods, mate. We love you. Thought I was going to get stabbed. Don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
let's play them. Let's play that song, that great song.
I think Nosebleed Section.
Nosebleed Section. That's it, yeah. That's up there with the Avalanches, their big one. That's up there with that.
The one where he makes false teeth. Because we used to sing that as dental tickets.
Oh, really?
And yeah. He makes false teeth.
Yeah. That's a good one, too. But let's play the Hilltop Hoods.
Sounds good.
All right. Tom Seeger, thanks for coming on the podcast.
No, thanks for having us.
We've only got another hour to go. We could record another one. Pretend to be someone. Hey, you know what? We'll do one as a suburban footballer. Stay tuned. We're not going to. Check him out on Facebook, guys.